What is going on, my friends? My name is Parker Andreis, DJ of 10 years and host of Behind the Energy podcast. I've been able to meet some pretty awesome people along the way, and we're bringing them on here to go behind the energy, sharing their stories, lessons learned, and shine light on some of their major milestones. If you're into DJing, the event industry, or entrepreneurship, I think you'll dig the show. I really appreciate you being here with me. Now that we've set the table, it's time to jump right in and get started with today's episode. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners, friends, amigos, amigas, party people from across planet Earth, welcome to Behind the Energy podcast. This is a very special episode because it's number 50 of the show, and I'm sitting here with Mr. Nord, Nicholas Nord. was on episode number one of the podcast, and he's been referred to on the show many times because he's the man behind the camera, behind the scenes, making everything sound nice and clean, and literally making everything happen. I just so happened to get to talk in the microphone. So now that the intro is over, Nicholas, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thank you. I mean, I'm here every week, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, welcome back to this side of the camera. I know, it's weird. Microphone.
Well, when we first did this episode one, we weren't filming it.
No, we weren't.
We weren't. So no one listened, no one who listened to episode one knows what I look like. This is me.
This is Nick Norn.
If you've heard me on the podcast, now you can put a face to the name and the voice.
And a mustache. There's a mustache there.
There is a mustache. It's a very, very faint mustache, but it's there.
It's there.
It's absolutely there.
When we recorded this, the couch is over here,
mm-hmm.
and there was a lot of work that wasn't done that is now yep. done in the studio, too.
It is now done, yep. We'll have to maybe blast some pictures or something so people can see where we're at and what we're doing and what we're working in, because it is everybody that's come. Every single guest that's come has always been super surprised.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa, this is an actual, oh, okay. Which is actually kind of nice because it's like, I don't know how or what people think of me when they hear what I do or how I do what I do or anything like that. So having people come in and having their wow moments when they see this place is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Some of the guests we have in here, I think they do listen or watch it in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they understand, like, yeah, this is a legit studio.
Yeah.
Nick knows what he's doing. Like, there's so many pieces of equipment and stuff in here that mm-hmm. you're not seeing that, like, I don't know anything about because Nick's the guy doing all the behind the scenes. I wanted to, again, take another step back. Like, dude, we've been doing this now over a year because I think we mm-hmm. started recording in May or June last year.
Yeah, I think
right?
it was like the end of May. Yeah. End of May, beginning of June. Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm.
It's wild. Nick mentioned the first 15 episodes, we didn't have the video component, obviously.
Nope.
And even like I feel like the flow, the feel and the style of the show, the conversation has like adapted and evolved. Obviously you've been here for every episode,
mm-hmm.
A part of the conversation, just in a different dynamic, if you will.
Yeah.
And every now and then, like, we chat a little bit about just like how things went or the guest or like,
mm-hmm.
Some interesting things we learned, take a little bit, tell the listeners just like your experience. This is the first pod. No, this is the second podcast you've done, correct?
Primarily
work with musicians.
Yeah, primarily work with musicians. This podcast has been very beneficial to me. Because you and myself, we both listen to every single episode. I mean, between actually being here and hearing it live versus editing the video, whatever it may be, we listen back to it. I feel like we regurgitate that information a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the information that I've come out with just listening to this podcast as we've been working on it has been just super beneficial to me. And I feel like every single person that you've had on here has brought very valuable information to the table. Mm-hmm. And something that I think that every single person could benefit from, anybody that is a creative, anybody that does anything with anything, really realistically, I think anybody can benefit from this podcast because mm-hmm. there's so much information that is being expressed on this platform. And it's really cool. I mean, I just think about some of the things that people have said, and there's a lot that has stuck out to me. I won't go into specifics. You got to go listen. You got to listen to every episode.
Yeah, this is not a plug, to hype things up. I just want to get behind Nick's, mm-hmm. in Nick's thought, get in your thought, Nick.
Yeah.
Your thoughts, Nick.
Which that is not a plug. I feel like if you're watching this one right now, go watch every single one. Take notes. I mean, have fun with it. Listen to it. Listen to it at the gym. Listen to it on your drive to work.
What component about it do you think really digs at bringing the value? Like, what component about the show, about what we're doing, what we've been doing now for a year, brings the value that you're talking about?
Well, I mean, there's so much.
Yeah.
I feel like that, in a sense, that's almost fairly open-ended of a question because there is so much.
Can you give me a few examples?
Oh, I mean, we've gone over a few things. We've gone over money. We've gone over finances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when it comes to conversations with clients and how to really hone in getting a deposit or, getting them to actually book with you. That, I mean, any of the information we've gone over in that sense, that's been crazy. I mean, asking a client what their budget is.
Mm-hmm.
And then
having that
conversation to know, okay, I'm not going to undershoot this
mm-hmm.
or I'm not going to overshoot this. I know where they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's referencing a specific thing, but I mean, that in itself, that's huge. That's information that not a lot of people know about.
Okay. So maybe it sounds like the specific topics come up in kind of like the natural, but like intentional conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, we've had producers, we've had DJs, mm-hmm. we've had wedding photographers, wedding planners.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, I mean, the list goes on and on. Other entrepreneurs, I'm not going to get into that, but we've had so many different people on here.
Now that, when you put it like that, not every episode has a guest. And, mm-hmm. there's a few episodes where there's, a part two. But, we've had some dope people in here.
Oh, yeah. That's why I say that question is fairly open-ended, because here we are on episode 50, and I'm looking back on everything. And, I mean, for me, being in the chair that I sit in, the people that you've brought in that I've met and networked with, I mean, there's a few people that I still, mm-hmm. I'll still hit up, mm-hmm. and we'll still talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool. And because we all have something that we can mutually benefit from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's super valuable right there. And we've talked about that on the podcast. I mean, you have, but networking in itself, I mean, it's all, I know it sounds like a plug, but I mean, it really is true. Just the information that I've myself have come away with, like when we came up with this idea in a bar and said, let's do this. Like, I was just like, all right, this will be fun. I didn't actually expect or anticipate to really fully, and I know that sounds kind of wrong, but I did not fully expect or anticipate to take anything away from the episodes we were doing. And with that, everything that I have taken away from all these episodes, it's even more valuable to me because I wasn't expecting it. And it was things that I felt like I needed to hear.
Mm.
That I already knew,
mm-hmm.
but I needed to hear it from someone else who had experienced it,
mm-hmm.
or they know what they're doing in that sense. Like picking something up and just going with it, that's really hard to do. But if someone tells you how to pick it up, where to go with it next, that is like, that right there in itself is just, that's so valuable because it gives you direction.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you're like in different industries or different, yeah, different contexts, but yeah, like the concept or the principle is, mm-hmm, is the same. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. That's definitely putting it.
Yeah.
That's wrapping it in a nice little bow.
Yeah.
What I'm,
yeah,
saying.
Yeah. I wasn't planning on bringing this up, but like, I'll just go ahead and chat about it. Like, if I'm being honest, like as we were recording season one, uh-huh, I know we're stacking the episodes, getting ready, uh-huh, to start releasing. Like, dude, I was so stoked because like, this is something that I've shared, Nick, you know, like it's been in the pipeline for a long time prior, mm-hmm, to releasing. Like I'm talking 2 years, and I was thinking like, yo, dude, this is going to be so sick. Like, I think people are going to love it. And you know, it's, you know, we're gonna have a lot of engaged, excited listeners really quickly. Come to find out, like first season, like it was not really at all in line with like where I was envisioning in terms of like, mm-hmm, popularity or excitement. And that was a little like discouraging at first. Mm. And you know, I had to recognize that not everyone listens to podcasts.
Yep.
You know, even though you know you're my friend, you may not like relate to like the DJing or the entrepreneurial type things that we're doing here. And then C, and I think what's also most importantly is that like you needed to identify the show a bit more because,
yes,
season one, in my personal opinion, I think we've kind of talked about this, but like it was pretty open ended, mm-hmm, and like I feel like conversation was a little bit more kind of like free flowing.
Yes.
Whereas, yes, we've been able to narrow in on the topics and the guests and keeping the conversation intentional, mm-hmm, but still natural, like we're chatting, mm-hmm, right now. If you've
which
been
you do a very good job at, by the way.
Thank you.
And watching the progression of that has been really cool.
It's not exactly an easy thing.
No. No.
I'm gonna wrap this up here in just 1 second, but like, but like, you know, where I'm sitting at right now, like some of the things I'm considering is like, our timing, are we staying focused? Is the message coming across clearly?
Yeah.
Am I an engaged listener, mm-hmm, while ensuring that the, you know, the message is coming across and the timing's right, and is the conversation flowing naturally, and is there enough context provided to our listeners and our audience, and being able to like flow from like really exciting or interesting or like intense conversation to like something a lot more intimate or private or personal. Like,
mm-hmm,
there's very much an artwork and an intentional flow that's necessary, in my personal opinion, to like facilitate a very a high value output of these shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I've like felt that just through repetition, and I feel, mm-hmm, like there's still a lot I can improve on. I'm rambling now. But I'm roping things back in. You know, I recognize after the first season, you know, this is a long-term game,
yeah,
in terms of like being able to share what we want to share, what I want to share.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that it was only appropriate to have Nick back on here for episode 50, just over a year and the 50th episode of the show. And the show behind the energy has grown quite a bit in those 50 episodes, or at least from the beginning of season two at episode 16.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's most of the talking I'm going to be doing for this episode. I'm just stoked to be here, and like, it is wild taking a step back and looking at the guests, and I mean, how things are grown, and I learned how to work this camera and get the lighting right and, mm-hmm, whatnot.
But I mean, to that, what you were saying, and I'm kind of going to go back, yeah, back a jump.
Yeah.
What you were saying is repetition.
Yeah.
You started getting it down, you started becoming more comfortable with it through repetition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I'm going to say. Practice makes perfect. in everything. Repetition is like the key to nailing something down. If you're not repetitive about it, if you're not practicing, if you're not doing anything like that, you're not going to get better. And that's in all aspects. And everything that any guest has said here, you got to practice it until it becomes part of your life.
Alex used the word doing your homework.
Doing your homework. Yeah, yeah. Correct.
Or the term, you know? The phrase. Yeah.
But I mean, it's true. And you got to constantly be able to evolve. And like watching you do that, your evolution as a host has been incredible. For one, and I'm sure that everything that you've learned while doing this podcast has been something that you've been able to apply to your personal life and your work life in your own conversation skills.
Yeah, something I'm mindful of, or at least try to like constantly tap into, is like the balance, the balance of the conversation.
Yeah.
For the most part, I want to have the guests being like 70%.
Yeah.
And my 30% is questions and like clarifying and like digging a little bit more, or maybe like a little antidote from my experience to relate. Just in my day-to-day life, you know, like where's the balance at? You know, that's just one small example. Nick, I want to transition. For the sake of facilitating the conversation.
Transition.
Bro, I mean, I'm sure listeners, viewers can like paint a picture of like what it looks like and what your responsibilities and roles look like in terms of what you do for the show. Can you paint an even more clear picture for them, for someone who's either curious or is into audio engineering and producing and may want to do a podcast?
Cool. Yeah, I can definitely lead that. Well, the first thing is, and the first thing that I definitely want to express is, if you're getting into this field, whether it's in production or as an audio engineer, whether that be a mixing engineer or a mastering engineer, whatever it may be, you got to have fun. That's the biggest thing. And I'm sure that I know for a fact that's the same with DJing. But you have to have fun. Too often and too long, I was so focused on the rules and not breaking the rules that I forgot how to have fun. So that's the first thing that I want to like very specifically, you know, iterate to everyone, is to have fun with it. It doesn't all need to be super serious. Yeah, there's a time and a place, but it doesn't always have to be that way. And here with the podcast, we do have a lot of fun. I mean, I'm sitting there in my chair a lot of the times laughing and trying not to be too loud to get picked up on a microphone. And sometimes, you know, in any other setting, people would probably get so pissed off if you make a comment. But sometimes a guest will say something or you'll say something. I'm like, I have to say something.
No, I appreciate
this,
it.
You yeah. know? So don't take it, sometimes don't take it so seriously and have fun with it. That's the first thing. And the second thing is just, we're like, what I do is, I mean, you come in, you set up the backdrop, the lights, I set up the microphones. I make sure that everything's going in to my audio interface. Since day one, I've had a preset of what we're doing and how we're recording. It's the same numbers. It's the same settings every single time, because I like to create a consistency. Season three, we did a little bit of a switch up on the way we process things, but for the most part, it's pretty much the same. And that's I think with podcasting, that's a crucial thing to keep in mind, is consistency. Your listeners want consistency, and giving them consistency is key. People will be really thrown off by if your S's are too sibilant, if your audio's too low, if your audio's really inconsistent, it's really loud and really quiet at some points, have a lot of fun with.
Who would have been Bo Johnson might have been a little bit louder and I might have been a little more quiet.
Stuff we can fix. But like if we're just going like this and we're really quiet like this, and then we go up really loud like this, it's gonna be some changes in the dynamic, right? Listeners don't really want that.
Yeah.
They don't want a huge change in dynamic. They don't want to have to turn up to listen to what you're saying and then have to instantly crank it down because now it's too loud because someone laughed. or something like that. So that's creating that consistency is key. But there's a lot of ways to do that with compressors, with EQ limiters, all that stuff. And I mean, that's a whole nother ball game. And if you're really, really, really interested in all that and any tips for that, you can definitely hit me up. I'm an open book. I love to spread my knowledge.
Knowledge. Clearly, you have a bit of knowledge in this industry, in this field. Mm-hmm. And Nick, in episode one, we got a pretty solid walkthrough in terms of like your entrepreneurial career and mm-hmm. and time in music. For those who maybe. Who may have not have listened or haven't paused to go listen to episode one. Can you give us, you know, an overview of like your entrepreneurial story?
I'm going to make it a really brief one.
In time in the music industry.
Yeah. I'm going to try to keep it brief.
Yeah.
I started at a very young age, mm-hmm. really young. I think I started playing a musical instrument around the time I was like between 8 and 10. Took it really seriously from a very young age. Got put into a program that got me performing.
School of Rock.
Got me performing, got me learning, got me feeling the music, all of that. And then kind of took it a step forward. Creamfield's video of Skrillex really turned me on to DJing and production. And I wanted to know how that was all done. So at 13 years old, I was trying to figure out how that was done. 13, 14 years old, I was trying to figure out how that was all done, which just spiraled me into this world of production and I would say electronic music but just electronic music production in general.
You're one of those weird
people. I'm one of those guys, dude. made a lot of electronic music, learned how to DJ, mm-hmm. which we did a few things. I piggybacked you a lot to learn, which is how we got really close. and then I kind of jumped into, what do I want to do with this? I know how to produce a song. I know how to record a song. Do I know how to mix a song? Do I know how to master a song? And so then I dove into that, into audio engineering, once I felt like I was pretty comfortable with myself as a producer. Mm-hmm. And I spent a couple years doing that. And when I say a couple years, I mean a couple years. Like, this all takes time. Mm-hmm. It's time. It's practice. 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 Repetition, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why I said it a few times. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. But I got that practice, I got all that, and now, you know, just the last year and a half, I've kind of had a full circle of tailoring all the skills I learned as a producer, a mixing engineer, a mastering engineer, a recording engineer, tailoring those all into just one person, and just kind of learning all that. So that's kind of just a brief overview. I mean, there's a lot we're skipping over.
A lot.
For time purposes, yeah. But I mean, if you really want to know, you can go listen to that episode one. Mm-hmm. I go way more in detail about mm-hmm. that. But I mean, that's a brief overview. I got obsessed. This was something I loved doing. I got obsessed with every aspect of everything in this world, in the audio production world, in the audio engineering world. I got obsessed. I mean, I woke up having nightmares about compressors. I still do, you know, whether or not I dialed in a compressor right, or if EQ could have been done differently. I have nightmares. I legitimately have nightmares over that. I wake up in a dead sleep.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just thinking, especially when I've sent out a project that's done and it's being released, and I'm like, oh crap, I probably could have done that better. But I mean, you kind of have to learn when to stop. Mm-hmm. It's another thing. Sorry, I'm trailing.
No, you're good, bro. You're good. When you care about something so much, yeah. It's been a part of your life.
Nightmares.
For so long.
Nightmares, people.
Yeah. When you start having nightmares about something, I think you've reached like a new like
level of obsession.
I don't say benchmark, but love of obsession is appropriate.
Yeah.
Nick, I feel like audio engineer, mastering engineer, producer, musician, like a lot of those terms are not fully understood, even from my perspective. Okay. And I also feel like there's a lot of overlap as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of differences, clearly.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Like, also based on your experience, like the transition from like, you know, maybe from DJing to like mixing and mastering, or like performing as a guitarist and a singer, you know, like mm-hmm. a little bit about your experience there and like where you're currently at as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, so I am a musician.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So a musician basically just writes a song. I mean, there are songwriters and everything. Artist is who releases the song. It's who that song technically belongs to. Mm. That's the artist. The musician is, or it could be musicians, mm-hmm. Plural. They write the song. And then you take it to a producer. And a producer who's is gonna put it all together. Whether or not that producer is an all-in-one, does everything, or producers getting everybody in the room that needs to be in the room. Mm. Nowadays, there's a really fine line between a musician / songwriter to a producer to a mixing engineer to a mastering engineer. There's a very fine line in between all of those. Because computers, man.
Technology.
Mm. Yeah. Technology has made things so much easier, but so much harder at the same time. What we've had is we've had an influx of people releasing music, but we've also had an influx of people releasing crappy music. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but
yeah,
I'm just going to be honest. Yeah. I mean, we can have a good song. We won't classify that as crappy music, but it doesn't sound good because it was done in so-and-so's basement. Mm-hmm. On crappy speakers, and no one could hear anything, mm-hmm. and no one had the knowledge to actually put it all together, and now everything's use clipping tools, and falling apart.
The exactly. technology to its potential, mm-hmm. or like the right way.
Yeah, correct. So there's a lot of fine lines, but I mean, by definition, a musician songwriter, they're going to write the song. A producer is going to get everybody in the same room that needs to get everything done. That's whoever's tracking it. That's whoever's mixing it, whoever's mastering it, whoever's playing the song. We'll get them all in the same room, or they're putting it all together themselves. Who knows? Depends. And then we move on to a mixing engineer. Mixing engineer is going to sit down and they're going to mix everything. They're going to make sure everything's tonally balanced. Make sure the lows aren't too heavy. Make sure the mids aren't dipping too low. Make sure the highs aren't killing your ears. You want to have that tonal balance. And then a mastering engineer, cherry on top. They're just make sure everything is playback proof. So, and every system, it'll sound as good as it possibly can. And there's a lot of different terms. I'm not going to drop them, but there's a lot of different terms for every single thing and every single process and making sure everything is taken care of. There's a lot of checks and balances when you record a song that you've written and you want done. If you want it done correctly, there's a ton of checks and balances. If you want it done, there's not a ton of checks and balances. But that's kind of the movement of that. I do all of those. Especially for the band or my own stuff, I'll start to finish. But that's where it's really nice to have collaborators and other people to come in to add a new flavor or a new opinion to something to switch things up, mm-hmm. because I'll get in my own head and I'll like the way something sounds, but that's not the best way it could sound. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to come in and they're going to show me something different, which is why I like working in a band.
Never thought of this or that.
It's exactly why I like working in a band. I've had a lot of people my entire life tell me that I should stop working in bands and I should do things solo, but I will miss that collaborative effort because having that collaborative effort, I can, but I'm not going to write a really cool drum beat every single time. Mm. Well, that's what a drummer's for. Mm-hmm. I can't come up with the bass lines that my bassist comes up with, mm-hmm. you know, and my keyboardist, my guitarist, although they all play a very crucial role in the collaborative effort. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to trail into, you know, kind of the DJing and the production side of things and how that kind of worked. Those two really go hand in hand. And I know we've talked about that before, but they really do go hand in hand, especially today. Just as much as there's a fine line between, you know, a musician and a producer and a engineer, there's a very fine line between a DJ and a producer. Because both can do both very easily. If you're an experienced DJ, you're going to know what good sounds like. Mm-hmm. You're going to know audio systems. You're going to know house systems. You're going to know EQ curves. You're going to know what sounds good. Mm-hmm. That's super crucial as a producer. Mm-hmm. As a producer, you're going to also know those same things in a different context, mm-hmm. especially when you're putting together your songs. I mean, I've rolled up to gigs before, and I know you've been at those same gigs where people have literally shut down the club before because they're pushing their songs too hard and it crashes the limiter. Just literally just everything shuts down. They have to reboot everything. Knowing those, that's super crucial. But for me, it was, I got into DJing because I needed a way to play my songs. I came as a performer. I was playing guitar on stage as a kid. Like, that's what I knew. I didn't know how I was going to put out electronic music. I didn't know how I was going to play it. Was I just going to put it on an iPod? No, I didn't want to do that. Like, when I watched the Skrillex Creamfields video, he was wearing a GoPro, and he was spinning, he was triggering stuff with his MIDI controller. He had Ableton on his laptop, and he was just going nuts. Did a stage dive. And I was like, that's what I want to do. And so I started working on, how do I do that? I started learning how to DJ using, I didn't use a virtual DJ. Everybody does.
I think you're one of the very...
But I didn't. Basically, taking it from being a producer and then being a DJ, I had to find a way to marry the two in order to, you know, promote my songs, play my songs live, being that I was a performer in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to figure that out. Skrillex Creamfields video,
mm-hmm.
GoPro, he's doing his thing. He's spinning. He's triggering stuff with his MIDI controller. He's got Ableton. He's doing all that. I wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let's do that. That's what I want to do. So I started figuring out how to do that. Didn't use virtual DJ. Nope. I used an app on my iPad.
Okay.
It's called DJ.
J-A-Y. I know the one you're talking about.
And that's what I learned. That's how I learned to split tracks. That's how I learned to mash things up. That's how I learned transitions, was on an iPad. And then I finally got a DDJ-SR.
SR, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was a two channel.
Pioneer.
Like
controller.
The SX.
Yeah.
Uh huh. But it was a two channel, mm-hmm. specifically two channel. It's a lot smaller of a board,
mm-hmm.
but it was a great board for what I needed.
I recommended that exact controller to a lot of people looking
it's
to get
a great controller. I still have it. Yeah.
It's solid awesome. Build too.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it. It's Pioneer.
Yeah.
You got Serato. It's fairly inexpensive. It's mm-hmm. a great way to get into it. I was never a Neumark fan.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend growing up who had a Neumark, you know, deck at his house when we were in middle school, and I hated that thing.
Mm.
My personal opinion. I know some people will probably shoot me for that, but that's just my opinion. I loved Pioneer, and I loved Serato. I loved that. That was a ton of fun. But being as it was, that wasn't enough for me. Spinning was a ton of fun. But it wasn't enough. It didn't feel like I was fulfilling what I wanted to fulfill when I was on stage. And I loved mixing, and I wasn't a pre-recorded set dude. I hated that because I wanted to control my set. I wanted to read the crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to play what they wanted to play, and I didn't want to all of a sudden have something come on that nobody vibed with and then have to play out the whole song or wait till the transition came because it was pre-recorded. No, if they didn't like it, I wanted to get the hell out of there as soon as I could.
I hope there's not DJs doing that today.
Oh, there are. There are.
If you're listening, please stop.
Learn to mix. Learn to mix. It's honestly, is practice, repetition, practice, practice, practice. No joke. If you do, you will get really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, like, a lot of people don't realize this, but this is the thing. I mean, yeah, you as a DJ, you can have a library of 500 plus songs. But a lot of those songs you know, and you've marked out transition points.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
You've marked out transition points. As long as you're not clicking that sync button, and you kind of have a good idea of what your library is.
Thank you.
You can move around that so easily.
Yeah.
You don't even need to, like, you can practice a whole set. You can pick out 30 songs and you're like, mm-hmm. that's what I'm going to practice. I'm going to work on my transitions.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you get good with that, take out five of the songs you normally had in there and replace them with five different ones.
And I like that strategy, man.
Right? Because all you're doing is you're practicing, but you're getting out of that repetition, but into a different style of repetition. And what that does is that consistently and constantly makes you better at what you're doing.
Dude, if you're looking to improve, like, your skills on the tables, spinning or freshen up your sets, like, that's a really good kind of, like, system you can implement.
Mm-hmm. I did that.
I've never done that before.
I did
that's
that.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I had 15 songs.
Mm.
I had 15 songs that I cycled. That I actually did. I practiced out 15 songs. That was literally a mashup.
Mm.
I was just playing the drops.
Mm-hmm.
I had everything queued out, practiced everything, and then I started interchanging the songs.
Mm.
It was a ton of fun. It was a ton of fun. It kept me on my toes, kept me good. I was never, I'm not here to say I was good at it, but I was fairly proficient with what I was doing. I would definitely say that. I knew what I was doing to an extent, and I knew that I could transition comfortably from any song mm-hmm. to another song.
Mm-hmm.
Except for that night at Twist when you asked me to take over. It had been years. I was like,
I gotta run to the bathroom.
I didn't even know. Cause you with the four channels, you transitioned way differently than I did. But I did learn from you how you pull the volume down and you kind of pump. You kind of do this pump thing sometimes.
Yeah, you create kind of like an echo effect. Mm-hmm.
Not even an echo effect, but you'll kind of like sometimes you'll pump the fader up as you're transitioning. So you'll use the crossfader and you'll kind of do this motion. And so you had the track kind of down, like probably three-fourths of the way to zero. So it was like kind of almost there at the top level where it needed to be, but it wasn't. It was just a transition song. You had to run to the bathroom. You said, take over. And I just sat there. And I was like, I was sitting there looking at the SX. I haven't looked at any of this stuff in a long time. But the Z, that's what it was, the Z. And I was looking at it and I was like, oh my God, like, I have no idea what I'm doing anymore.
You should press play and sing.
Yeah, you took off and the song's playing and I did the transition and I did it good. Forgot one thing. You came back.
The filter.
First thing you did, filter. Whip.
The filter was on.
Mm-hmm.
So
there was no low end of the track because it was the high pass filter.
Yeah, bro.
It was the high pass filter. So, you know, it was a little bit to the left and you just bump.
That's such a DJ thing. I love that. Give me a sec. I want to interject right there. So if you're new to DJing, you're listening along, this is a great learning lesson. Resetting your board.
Yeah.
So the moment you transition, let's say you're on channel one and you're going to channel two. So you got song one playing here, you got song two about to come in. All right. So we're finishing with one going over to two. Once two's 100% playing and one's completely done, you reset every knob, every button, every fader. Mm-hmm. So that way when you play the next song back on that channel,
mm-hmm.
you're not thrown off.
No.
I remember this now that you bring it up. Yep. I had a filter on or barely on and Nick obviously didn't know it, but I had heard it and the first thing I did was turned it off or whatever. So Nick, sorry. Thank you for bringing that up. That was a funny memory. I want to get back on track in terms of your transitioning from DJing and wanting more to what that more is. If you could take two or 4 minutes, tell me and the listeners what that transition and what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. Well, what more was for me was learning that I could sing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Had a very influential family friend who's a vocal coach over on Broadway and everything. He just told me, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. He started training me and I realized I had a voice that I didn't know I had. And I think everybody does. You just have to find it. Mm. That was a really eye-opening experience for me going, my whole entire life, I've kind of always been behind the scenes. Never really in front of everything until I was a DJ, obviously. But, I mean, my frontman skills were never terrible because of being a DJ. Kind of prepped me for that.
Mm-hmm.
But becoming a vocalist was a whole different switch. And then also staying as a guitarist. But that was a crucial pivot point for me was going, this is what I want to do.
Mm.
I want to play in a band. Everybody was making the switch over to becoming a DJ and becoming an electronic music producer. And I went, I don't want to do that anymore, especially because all of a sudden, literally, it felt like overnight, the market got extremely saturated.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed like everybody and their dog all of a sudden was into raves. Everybody loved dubstep. I didn't even make dubstep.
It's like,
I made progressive house.
2010 to like 2015-ish.
Yeah, roughly. That was kind of more when people weren't fully into it.
Yeah.
It was around 2016 that everybody hopped on. They wanted to go to DOS. They wanted to go to Get Freaky. They wanted to go to Get Lucky.
Like, the electronic feel
it switched
was very much more incorporated to like the top 40s as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and then it became that. Yeah. I don't want to be that guy, but it definitely became more mainstream.
Yeah.
And because of that, I feel like the sincerity behind the music that was being made previously wasn't there anymore.
Mm.
And with rolling up to shows to spin and having the headliner come ask to borrow your decks, and then also ask if he could plug his USB into your laptop to download his pre-recorded set and then spin. That was annoying. That was more annoying than anything else in the world. And I know, because we did one together. And like, there were people there that did that night that we did play together that night. And that sucked. I hated that. And like, I'm not going to, I want to be positive, but like, that sucks for the people that actually put in the work,
yeah,
and that actually make an effort to do something like that and make it an experience. It sucks when someone just comes in because they can sell, you know, two more tickets than you, they're going to be ahead of you or something like that. And that's a different competitive scene, but you know what I'm saying. But I had a bad taste in my mouth. And now it's funny, the music that I was making back in 2014, 2015, the progressive house stuff, it's coming back around. And I'm like, great. If I would have just stuck at this, I probably would be popping off by now or something. I don't know. But I mean, it didn't take off as much as I had thought it would. And then everybody loved dubstep. So we kind of trailed away from that, started performing live again. And then, you know, 2019, it was July 24th, 2019. You came to the show. Dry States played for the first time. That was my first time seeing and playing guitar on stage, playing my original songs. Like, I'd sung on stage before. I'd played guitar on stage before.
You look comfortable up there, bro.
That's where I needed to be. That was my element, you know? Mm-hmm. And that was really dope. And that was a really cool experience. And that night was the night that I was like, yeah, this is what I need to do. Apart from audio engineering and producing, like, that's what I want to do as a performer.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of performing in Dry States,
mm-hmm.
For the listeners, I get some behind the scenes. Like, we're going behind the energy right now, but like, when the camera is off and we're not recording, I get even more... I get to go even more behind the energy, if you will, and I get to hear some updates and on some tracks that you and the band's been working on. Anything you can share in terms of quarter three, quarter four for 2022?
Yeah, we're finally ready. I know we talked about it, episode one of the podcast a year ago.
We did, bro.
But we and me. Myself, very much so included in that, but we are ready, and I am ready again. There's a few, there's always going to be those things in life that kind of come out of nowhere, that kind of shake things up, that kind of take your focus away from where it needs to be, and that definitely happened to me a year ago, mm-hmm. but now we're ready to go. Mm-hmm. I am mentally and physically ready to go. And we've got a lot of really cool songs we're working on right now that will be some singles and an album and some shows coming up. Nothing locked in right now, but the emails have been sent and the booking process is starting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hearing you say that gets me so much more stoked. A lot of these songs like need to be played live.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I hear them, yes, it's great. I'm enjoying it, but like I want to see it live. I want to see you live.
You gotta come, dude. Stage, you gotta come to the studio when we're jamming. I know it's different on a stage, but
yeah,
the vibes in the studio are fun.
So, if I can just pry once more, we are going to be expecting something come 20. You know, the remainder of this year.
Oh yeah, absolutely,
for sure.
Uh huh. Yeah, sure. Guaranteed. Uh huh. There's. Yeah, I mean, literally before you were pulling up, I'm working on stuff that we're polishing up and getting ready to send out.
Dope.
So, mm-hmm. and the, I took all expectations off of what I want the music to be. I left it 100% a collaborative effort. And I've just kind of gone like, this isn't what I want to, I don't want to control whatever's coming out. I want to let it all flow. Like, I don't care if people don't like it. I don't care if people don't vibe with it. I don't care if people judge it. I want the people who are going to appreciate it to appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And, I know that sounds all artsy fartsy and stuff, but like, it really is. It just was, I figured with myself, and that's what I mean by myself being ready, was I was just so hyper fixated on a specific way things needed to be, which I have
we could go
referenced and, before yeah. earlier in this episode itself, which brings me right back to have fun. Don't get so caught up in the rules. Don't get so hyper-focused on things that you don't need to be hyper-focused on. Have fun with it. And that's what we're doing right now. And I'm having so much fun. And I know the guys are having so much fun. And the music that we're creating is so unique, but so reined in at the same time. It's got this own flavor to it that I just really dig. And I really kind of went on some soul searching for what my inspirations are as of right now, where I am artistically. And yeah, there's a lot of like Motown inspired stuff, some funky stuff. It's pretty cool.
Now, I'm sure those listening or watching are like, where is the sound? What's it going to look like?
Dry states. The old stuff's there, but this new stuff is just.
Yes.
Yeah.
For the bit I've heard, we're in store for a treat.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, thanks for bringing that full circle, man. I feel like it's incredibly appropriate considering where we've gone, and also like just something that I'm taking for myself personally, as a person with OCD and person who also overthinks. And we've talked about this a number of times, but like keeping fun at the forefront. Mm-hmm. We'll always ensure that, you're moving forward with your better foot.
Yeah.
And you know, without diving too much into that, like I've been retapping into that fun and making that a priority on my laptop. I don't have my laptop with me, but it says I have a little sticky note cut out and taped on there. It stays on there and it says, smile, dance, backup downloads.
Yeah.
So whenever I go to look down, I see that bright orange and it says smile and dance. Because whenever I'm doing that, the song choice or the time to MC comes so much more naturally.
Yes.
And it I get into forced. A flow. It's not like, all right, I got one song now, it's got another next song. It's like,
yeah,
I'm gonna dance and enjoy myself, and then I'm gonna know exactly what needs to be played next.
Yep.
So
it's letting it all flow, man.
We're flowing.
No, that's like straight up. I know. I've learned because I also am a very, very, like, I have very bad OCD.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was just meeting with a mental health therapist and just professional has made my life so much better because learning those coping skills and when your OCD gets triggered and knowing that and then knowing how to combat it.
Mm-hmm.
Or use it to your benefit.
Yep.
Oh, man, the ammo that you have.
The ammo.
Yeah, just knowing when to turn off your OCD and when to turn it back on. It's cool.
I need to get your therapist contact information. Hopefully my insurance covers it.
Yeah.
Nick, just for the sake of time, brother, is there anything else in terms of what you get to do as a musician, artist, audio engineer, or even with the podcast that you want to share to end on, bro?
Oh, man. There's so much that I would like to say. And I know there was a lot that we wanted to cover, and I'm a rambler, but you did a good job at keeping me pretty reined in. I'm going to think about the one thing that I would leave someone with. So if someone is trying to get into this.
Into what?
Into audio engineering, into production, into podcasting, whatever it may be.
Okay.
We already stated have fun.
Yep.
The next thing and not take things too seriously. Know when to take them seriously. Know when to not take them as seriously.
Yeah.
The next thing that I think I would say would be to surround yourself with other people that will influence you and also inspire you. That's a huge one. Because everybody needs a mentor, but everybody needs to be mentored. Mm-hmm. Your mentors have mentors. You are a mentor.
Wait, that's the same thing, is it not?
It is the same thing.
Okay.
I worded it terribly.
Buffering speed right there.
I worded it terribly. But what I'm trying to say is that your mentor has a mentor. If that makes sense.
Okay.
And you, yourself, are someone else's mentor.
So everyone can maintain that learning.
Everyone can maintain that. You're never done learning.
Perspective.
You're never done learning. You never know everything.
That student
there's always
mindset.
Someone better than you, and there's always someone worse than you. Always.
Mm-hmm.
Look to the person who's better than you. Don't look at them necessarily as competition, but look at them as someone you can learn from.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person who is not as good as you, that's someone you can teach. And when you teach, you reinforce what you've learned.
Very true.
And so all you're doing is creating a circle of people that you can reference to, you can ask questions to, you can teach. And all that does is you continually learn and you continue to grow. And that's the biggest thing is be around people that inspire you. Be around people that influence you. Be around people that will mentor you or you need to mentor them. And be that for them or be there to learn, be involved. That's the biggest thing and have fun with it. Back to that, but always be willing to learn. And put your ego aside. I've had to do that on so many occasions, to the point where at this point, I'm just like, man, no one's right. No one's right.
In this industry, too. Especially.
Yeah, in this industry, no one's right.
Yeah.
You know, no one is right. There's no 2 + 2 = 4. You know, mm-hmm. There's so many other ways to get to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Be willing to learn. That's it. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Have that open mind.
Yeah. Mm. I can hone in my thoughts. My ADD is just...
Dude, you're chilling, bro.
ADD, OCD. I got all the...
You're chilling. We all got our own little things that make us our own, and we're just gonna continue. The camera just died. Dang it!
Damn!
Damn!
Sorry, you gotta hit it with the right. Damn!
Oh gosh.
We'll put up a picture of me and you or something.
A little nice thumbs up. Yeah, we'll put a picture up. It's okay. This is me, like, using my tool. Well, I don't have the tools. I need to get the bag of tools from the therapist. This is me, like, wanting
what
to
it just
obsess.
Came back on.
The camera just turned back on. That's weird.
Weird.
Obsess over... Obsess over the camera not working, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, Nicholas Nord, we are wrapping up our 50th episode of Behind the Energy Podcast, which once was a dream and a crazy, weird thing that we talked about some time ago. We got a pretty solid introduction of your story and who you are in episode one, but we got a little bit more detail, high level, some current and even updates for where you're at personally right now, man.
Mm-hmm.
And even some things to consider if you're interested in the music industry, you're in it, you're involved, or you are a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, anything else you want to leave, bro, before we call it a wrap on the 50th episode of the show, bro?
That's weird, 50 episodes.
Yeah.
I don't think there's really anything else I want to say except for if you do want to get into production or audio engineering or anything like that, you feel free to send me a message on Instagram. Just at Nick Nord, NicNord, one word. Feel free to hit me up. I'm always open to answering questions or just talking shop. I love it. I can do it for hours. So if you're going to do it, just be prepared for probably a long message back or wanting to call you or meet up with you, because there's never one sentence answer. I wish, but not with me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that.
Mm-hmm. But in a way, that's...
That's what you get
with
me.
Some of the great things about Nicholas Knorr, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
I just want to throw out there real quick, for those who have been honestly listening along for multiple episodes or since we started this thing, thank you. Mm-hmm. Honestly, truly, wholeheartedly, like, thank you. I don't know why I'm looking at the camera. The camera's not working. But, like, it's a... Or the camera died. I think it died. if I can get my point across, like, I just want to say thank you. You know, we have grown a little bit in the last year, and it's awesome to look back and see that. If there's anything in particular, like, that you enjoy hearing about, if that's, you know, audio, music specific, if that's DJing, if that's stories, or if that's, like, life hack, like DJ hacks or whatever that is, like, you know, let me know. Even if you're listening from afar,
man, that's what the YouTube comments are for.
Similar to Nick. Oh, thank you. Yeah, this is a YouTube comments are for. Comment them down in YouTube below, even though the video is not working right now. But thank you. Again, this is episode 50, season 3 of Behind the Energy podcast. Have yet to nail in how long the season's going to be, but minimum 20, maybe 30. And that is it. We got Nicholas Knorr in the house. My name is Parker Andres, and I'm going to go eat some dinner because I'm a hungry boy, mm-hmm. and my energy levels are running low mm-hmm. after going behind the energy. Mm-hmm. So until next time, my friends, namaste. May the force be with you. Make sure you're having fun. And we will catch
you. We got to do this last one on at the same time, though.
And we will catch...
You got this, but the last word.
What?
The last word. I listen to it every single time. Every single time we edit a podcast.
And we will catch you for our next episode next week.
Peace.
That is a wrap. Thank you for listening and going behind the energy with me. If you loved it, thumbs up it. You can follow me on social media at Parker Andres and check us all out at bringingtheenergy.com. As for now, we are signing off, and I'll catch you next week for another episode. Peace.